this month's Susie Book Club, we're looking at travel guides. Now, a while ago, I spoke to Madeline Riley and Tina Campy. They're from Redhill Library.
Well, you wouldn't think it with the weather outside. It's pretty chilly at the moment. But do people come into the library to borrow books about holidays and travel?
Yes, all the time. Yes, we've got a big travel section, which is very popular. And we've also got a full set of Ordnance Survey maps, which are very popular at the moment. Yes, well, for people planning their holidays and things.
We have all the explorer maps, or virtually all the explorer maps. If it's not at Redhill Library, then ask, because we can always order them in for you. So if you're travelling in the UK, come and have a look at what explorer maps that you roadmaps that you might want here. They are incredibly popular. People are starting, really, since before Easter, in fact, started to sort of plan their sort of small breaks away, and then, of course, their main holidays.
So you can borrow the maps just like you borrow a book?
It's treated exactly the same as a book, yes. You have a three-week borrower on that, and it goes on your library card. If you do wish to have it for longer, because sometimes people do go away for 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, do mention that to us, because very occasionally we will offer you a six-week loan, okay, particularly if you are travelling and you're taking an extended holiday. So do ask if 3 weeks isn't long enough for you to have in your library card for the map, then do ask us, and we will actually put it on for 6 weeks for you.
Are there any particular publishers, such as DK Eyewitness Travel Guides? And what about food and drink guides as well?
We have the Lonely Planet guides and the Rough guides, and then AA guides, all sorts of different publishers. My preference, I think, is the Rough guides. We always buy those when we go away for any particular holiday. But each guide has a different slant. I think the American Express, we've got some of those as well. So I'd say they're probably sort of a bit more upmarket than, say, the Rough Guide might be aimed at people travelling more on a budget. So you pick your guide to what sort of holiday you want.
Rough Guide, it's the biggest competition to Lonely Planet. Rough Guides came onto the travel scene in 1982, nonetheless, and also a guide for all budgets, but it definitely puts the emphasis on the lower budget end of your holiday. Rough Guide has fewer titles than Lonely Planet, and has less of an emphasis on logistics of travel, but overall has more background information and are a great companion to travelling in all parts of the globe. Rough Guide city titles from Chicago to Cape Town are especially good. The ideal user is the budget holiday maker, independent worldwide traveller, or adventurous expat. Now, the Lonely Planet, it's the biggest travel guide book publisher. Lonely Planet has a quarter of the market sales and has been bought out by the BBC. It's been around since 1973, and they're tried and true, offering an enormous title selection from Bolivia to East Timor. But the bigger things are not always the better things. So, you know, going back to Rough Guides, it puts an emphasis on the lower budget, and it gives more information that way. So, you know, there's two different aspects of looking. Yeah, Lonely Planet for the big things, and the Rough Guides, like my colleague Madeline said, you know, for your budget holidays and things like that. So, yeah. There are other ones, that such as Brat. Brat guides are fine if you've got a substantial budget. So you're looking at people who are travelling across maybe Africa, or, you know, in a Land Rover and that sort of thing. But they lack a lot of the practical information for travelling around by public transportation and finding cheap accommodation. So this is your diamond end of the travel guide.
And what about the food and drink guides?
No, we have had food and drink guides in Surrey libraries, but what we do have are the AA hotel guides, which actually contain a lot of the food and drink guides. So you're looking at your hotel guides, which do offer a food and drink emphasis within the book. So we certainly have that here, and we're really lucky that we've got the 2017 hotel guide by the AA. So that's a really comprehensive book to actually go by. The only problem is that it's a reference book only, so that does mean that you cannot take it out on your library card. But please do feel free to actually come into the library and peruse it. You can sit at one of our desks and you can sit and make notes and see what's available in the UK if you're looking for a hotel. Don't forget, though, our food and drink books upstairs, because if you're thinking of food and drink and holidays and whatever, our food and drink section in Redhill Library, as in any of the 52 Surrey libraries, pretty comprehensive. So that will also offer you an idea, actually, amongst there that there are one or two books about, you know, best food and drink places.
So Denise, they don't just cover the UK, say abroad as well.
We only cover our hotel guides only cover UK hotel guides. The best way forward, if you're looking to go abroad and for the best hotel and the sort of food you want, would be the internet.
Oh yes, the good old internet. Where would we be without it?
Sussex and Surrey's 103.4.
I've been talking to Tina Campy and Madeline Riley from Redhill Library. Now, I don't know whether you've heard of Peter Mayles' A Year in Provence, or maybe the ITV drama The Durrells. Now, can books like this, can they provide an insight into life in another country, or do they paint a rose-coloured picture?
If you have any television adaptations of books, such as The Durrells, centred on Gerald Durrell and his love and conservation of animals, I mean, that's all setting in Corfu, I believe it is. And, of course, it does the Greek market no end of good, because people all want to go there and have and share that experience. It's wonderful. Any Sunday drama series will, and if it's set in a certain location, it offers a taste, doesn't it? I liked the first series of the Durrells, and it's very zany and quirky. Yeah, there used to be another one, didn't there? They did of the Durrell story. With Brian Blessed as Spiros, and he was the most amazing Spiros. Brian Blessed, he was loud and he was just, yes. So and I can remember that, but this version is completely different, and it's much more human and funnier. Yeah, so yeah, I do concur that I think, yeah, it does help. Yeah, when you have a television adaptation of something, and they all want to go, and everyone wants to go there.
And what about history and wildlife? Any books that give historic content of maybe a holiday destination without getting too heavy?
The Spring Watch crew, when they and Winter Watch, when they go out to various destinations for their spring and winter watches and autumn watches, I think, you know, they go to Wales, they go down to Dorset, don't they? I think it's a great thing that they do, because they encourage the actual tourist industry, you know, the wetlands and things like that. So yeah, it can't be bad, really.
We have a lot of true books, and so there's people's sort of experiences, and so a lot of them are, you know, people travelling abroad and their adventures. There's that guy who carried his fridge around Ireland, isn't it? And those true books are really popular, so I do think people do want to sort of get a sense of a place before they go. I mean, I know I always like to read up on it around a place.
So what about the children? Obviously the adults would come in to take out a map or maybe a book on a destination where they'd like to go, but sometimes children are interested in where they're going on holiday as well, or even just for a project for school. What do you have in the children's section?
We have we are lucky here, particularly at Redhill. We have a really good world section, and that offers up books on most major countries of our world. Whether they are travelling to Spain or whether they're going to experience a completely, you know, wonderful adventure in Africa or New Zealand or South Africa, you know, or even the Antarctic, the cold areas of the world. We're really lucky. We have some great non-fiction information books for children on countries. There's a couple of really good books down there on flags. Now, children love flags. They find them very, very interesting. I think from a child's point of view, it really,
my son knows every flag of the world. You know, he can show him a flag and he'll tell you what country it is, and he's been interested in that since he was tiny. Yeah, I think we had a jigsaw puzzle with all the flags of the world, and he learnt it from there. Yeah, but it's
funny. Very educational.
It is. So So our world section, brilliant. Yeah, so I can honestly say that. Great if schools are doing projects on a particular country, and of course if you can't see the country there on the shelf, because obviously there is high demand for projects, you need to ask us. We're here to be asked. We can get copies from other libraries in. On a child's book, there is no charge.
Tina and Madeline, thank you very much yet again, and we'll catch up with you next month.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.